Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Chet. Okay, we're holding today on the second line. So yesterday, we took a look at our Mishnah, the implications of the dinim, of the difference between the Korban Pesach and other Korbanos Tzibur that are being brought Betumah. And that is that the Korban Pesach was the only one that, even though it's brought Betumah, is eaten, because its whole point is to bring the carbon that's eaten. Mashen Kini, every other carbon that we could think of that is brought for the Tzibur Betumah is not eaten Betumah. And that led to all kinds of serious problems, because if it's not eaten Betumah, you have to ask yourself, in what sense is it brought? Because at least according to Rabbi Yehoshua, if you don't have both a matir means you have either the dam or you have the komets of a mincha, and you have a shirayim that the matir said was mutter for you to eat, you cannot bring that matir, in which case, im ein basar, ein dam. So we could figure out maybe changes in the dinim of whether you have something that was niter because of the heter of the tzitz, and the tzitz is meratza. So if the tzitz is meratza on the achilas hamizbeach, which is called a tzitz meratza al olim, there would be a way for this to work out in just about everything, except for one thing, and that is the question of the shtei alechem on shvuas. The shtei alechem and the shvuas don't have anything that's brought on the mizbeach. And that made us very, very wary of having a Mishnah work out according to Rabbi Yehoshua. Because why in the world are we saying that we're going to have the Shtei HaLechem? In what sense do we actually have anything over there that there's no korban at all? If you're not going to be able to eat it and you don't have a matir, then there is no korban. And therefore, that was our question. We dealt with all of those various issues, whether Tumah is Utcha B'Tzibur, whether it's Utcha B'Tzibur, and so on. We were able to work things out Aliba to Rabbi Yehoshua, and according to Rashi, because Rabbi Yehoshua held that, in fact, Tumah is Utcha B'Tzibur, and therefore it's as if it's not even there. And according to Tosis, because the idea is only a Drabbana anyway, because the tzitz is meratza l'achilas b'nei raisa, and that accounts for the difference of the Rabbanu where it goes when it came to the tzibur. Fine. But now we have another problem, and that is, we mentioned yesterday Rabbi Yossi, and he was saying was near, he said wild things, we didn't understand, he gave us a Zen koan, essentially, about how he holds both like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, by Zvokhim, and he holds both like Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to Menochas, which sounds nice, but it's mad. So we don't know quite what it is that he holds, but we do know enough to say that the Mishnah should not work out according to Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer omer atzitz meratzeh al achilot, and Rabbi Yossi omer ein atzitz meratzeh al achilot. So now, what is the point of saying that ein atzitz meratzeh al achilot? Okay, I mean, lechora, the only point is to tell me that since I need to mention it, he must hold like Rabbi Yehoshua, who holds that you have to have at least two things in every korban. You have to have the aveda, the matir, and then you have to have that which the matir worked on, which is that which you're going to be eating or something. So therefore, the mizbeach will be eating. So therefore, he felt it essential to mention, no, that tzitz is, in fact, not meratzah. And if you don't have achilas, so then no good. Don't bring your matir, right? But if that's what he holds, so then it turns out that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi, because the Mishnah says you're allowed to bring Korbanos Tzibur, and even though you're not allowed to eat them. But according to Rabbi Yossi, if he holds that when something can't be eaten, then you don't eat, like Rabbi Yehoshua, im ein basar, ein dam, and this, of course, is assuming that Tumah is only nitche in the tzibur, and it requires the tzitz. So then everything that we said yesterday about Rabbi Yehoshua appears to be true about Rabbi Yossi. And the Mishnah can't be going like Rabbi Yossi. He says, well, no, that's not true. Just because Rabbi Yossi says that the tzitz is meratza, not meratza l'achilas, does not prove that he holds like Rabbi Yehoshua and that you need im ein basar ein dam. He holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds you bring dam afa pisha ein basar. Remember, it says dam zvachecha yishafech. I don't care what the situation is, just bring it. So in the Mishnah, the tumah of the basar, which means you can't eat it. Okay, fine, so don't eat it, but you bring the dam, because I hold of Rabbi Eliezer. Ihok, he says, how do you explain the fact that he mentioned the tzitz being maratz al achilas? What difference does it make whether the tzitz is maratz al achilas or not if I don't need the achilas? I mean, it's irrelevant, right? Ah, come on. What do you mean irrelevant? Yeah, you really think the only thing we need to know about the tzitz is whether it makes a difference in cases where you're not going to be able to eat it? So then if you held that, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, the tzitz is maratz al achilas. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that im ein boser, there's still dam, right? Dam afa pishein boser. You never ask, why did Rabbi Eliezer say you need the tzitz since it's irrelevant? Well, obviously it isn't irrelevant. I mean, look, forget about, you know, you're so prejudiced. We've been talking about these sugyas now. Let's just think about in general. What difference would it make if a tzitz is maratz? I'll tell you two things right off the top of my head. Okay, first of all, if the basar is actually tame, okay, and the tzitz is not going to be maratz, it means it's basar. So then what if I had a machshavas pigel about this carbon, right? And I decided I'm going to be makrivit chutz lizmano. Now, normally, if I would eat the basar in those cases, I would be chayav koras. But remember that the halacha is that unless you do the pigel right, in quotation marks, meaning that everything else is good except for the fact that it's pigel, then it's not pigel because we have that klal, kehartzaat kasher, kehartzaat pasul. Torah uses the lashon of ritzui when it comes to pigel. And therefore, it's going to make a heck of a difference of whether the tzitz is maratza. If the tzitz is maratza, then that means this carbon does not have another problem other than pigel, in which case I'd be chayav for eating it. If the tzitz is not maratza, then this carbon's got another problem. It's got the problem of tuma. And if there's something wrong with the carbon, namely that it's tame, then in fact it will not be able to be pigel, to be machayev karas. There's one difference. How about another difference? Hey, another difference. Another difference would be, is there ever a moment that this basar is mutter to eat? If there's no time that it's mutter to eat, then it still is called mikatshei Hashem. Okay, mikatshei Hashem, because it's not given to the Kohanim yet, so it still is entirely belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the halacha is that if you are nenef from it, then you have to bring a korban me'ilah. Because it's still called Mikatshei Hashem. The moment that the Kohanim would have a heter, well, obviously it's no longer Miyuchad LaHashem. So that would mean a big nafkamina halacha l'maisid. Am I chayv in me'ilah or not? Do I pay that extra money? Do I have to bring a carbon? You're telling me that's not important to know? That is enough of a reason for me to determine whether the tzitz is maratza without even touching on the issues of our Mishnah about whether you're im yesh, im ein basar, ein dam, who? Nothing to do with it, okay? So therefore, Rebbe Eliezer, who argued over here, and he says that tzitz is maratza, so that's what he's saying. The tzitz is maratza on this basar and makes it the equivalent of being tahor, in which case there's nothing wrong with the carbon is pigo, mechayev kares, and it has a heter l'kayanim, and therefore it's not called kachi Hashem, and therefore there's no me'ilah, as Rebbe Yossi is saying, no, ain't a tzitz maratza, and I tell you it's not important, ain't a tzitz maratza, and there are lo mash for the guitar, and therefore no mash for the pigo, and therefore, there's no heter l'shas, and even for a moment l'kohanim, in which case this is, in fact, a kachay Hashem, and you'd be chayev v'me'ilah, okay? So what's the problem? Makiflor of Murray, wait a minute. Even if Reb Yossi holds like Reb Eliezer, okay, which is what you're telling me, that im yesh dam, I mean, main baser yesh dam, but that only explains the zvachim, okay? It does not. Over there we have dam. Okay, so fine. So then the tzitz is maratza on the dam. Good. So I'll bring it in the betuma. The omer's got the komets. The lechem aponim have the bezichim. The bezichim and the lechem aponim are the matir of the lechem aponim in exactly the same way that the komets is a matir on every other mincha. The Torah calls it azkarata. So I bring up the azkara, which is the equivalent of that komets that bring a normal mincha. But can you explain to me what the meaning would be of talking about the shtei alechem? The shtei alechem are supposed to be eaten. If you're telling me that the tzitz is not maratza, so what does it mean we bring them betuma? There's nothing to bring. I'm not allowed to eat them. The tzitz is not maratza. Forget it. There is no such thing as a shtei alechem betuma. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, we're talking, of course, not about the shalachim themselves. We're talking about the two kvasim that are brought in order to be matzah, the shalachim b'achila, together with the shalachim, which are called the Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur. There it's the Kivsei Atzeret, right? So that's what it's referring to. It's referring to bringing the dam of that carbon in order to be able to eat the Shnei Alechem. And it's saying, fine, so now you've got the Shnei Alechem, you just don't eat it. But now you're allowed to bring Chodash in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shnei Alechem was Matir, etc., right? No, not right. Because the Mishnah listed separately Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur. So obviously what we're talking about over here is the Shtei Alechem themselves, which when they are brought without access to Karbonas, you can bring them. Am I watching a doctor drink a sugary drink? Or a diet drink? Which is even worse than a sugary drink?
Yeah.
you ought to go discuss this with your local physician who's not a dermatologist. Listen, I'm returning the favor, you know. You pick up all my lesions on Zoom. I pick up your bad habits. All right. So if that's the case, then the Mishnah listed Zifrei Shalmei.
It's not a fair trade.
You're right. And therefore, Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur would already have included the Shtei Alechem. Now, don't try to tell me that Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur and Shtei Alechem is really all one thing, right? And no. Because count, baby, the Mishnah says five things. And if you're telling me they're all the same thing, then one, two, three, four is not five, okay? Vanan chamisha tanan. So we've got a problem. Okay, you're right. All right, so then that's not the solution. It must be that Rabbi Yossi holds it's not even an issue. And actually, Tumas Utrabat Tzibur, we don't need the tzitz in this case. Because of that, the Shtei Alechem is okay. And that would allow Rabbi Yossi to also be the author of our Mishnah. It doesn't have to be Shlok Rabbi Yossi. Says the Gemara, that can't be true. Because remember that amazing halacha, which we're coming to soon in our learning and so on in the Torah, that we're supposed to bring when you either echad zeh ve'echad zeh, just like during the miluim, we had the 7 days that we prepare the Kohen Gadol. We do the same thing for the Kohen Gadol who is going to be coming into the Beis HaMikdash, and he under Yom Kippurim, so Shivas Yomim, we separate him and the Kohen Gadol that is coming to do the Poraduma. Shivas Yomim, we separate him, according to one Mandiyoma. This is actually learned from this coming week's laning, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu went into the Anan after 7 days of preparation, B'Yom HaShvi'i. In any event, so what do we do during those days? One of the things that we do is we take some of the Para Adumas from all across history, because remember, it was always a little bit it was put together with all of the others that was kept in the Beis HaMikdash, and we use all of those Paras, the Matzin of Kol Shiva, all 7 days from all of the chataot means the Parah Adumah, it's called the Paras Chatas, that were there throughout history. So says Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, that would be too much of a chumrah. You can just do it on the third day from his beginning of the Prisha and the seventh day. That way you would be Yotzi. And obviously Rabbi Meir is just saying, look, you know, we want to do it as right as possible. Maybe the first day that he came is the third day from his tumah. Okay, I mean, obviously it's a maila gedela that we're doing specially over here. It certainly is not a chiyav, according to Rabbi Yossi, but you do need shlishi v'shvi. Now, if Rabbi Yossi held that there's no problem of tumah b'tzibur, not that it needs dechia, and we do our best to avoid it. We need the tzitz to be meratza, which would explain why we would try to get him absolutely tor and put the par adum on him. It's irrelevant. He isn't tameh. You can say he touched a mace, but when it comes to the dinim of hakrova, the Torah says there's no such halacha. So you're making up your own halachas now to make him tor for something in which the tumah doesn't register? So Isak adayta kasov Rabbi Yossi tumah utra b'tzibur. Why am I doing hazaa? Well, I don't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu's psak here. So obviously, it must be, since he holds that the tzitz is not meratzah, and since he obviously holds tumah is nitcha b'tzibur, not hutra b'tzibur, we're back to our question. How in the world can I justify a Mishnah that says you're bringing the Shtei Alechem if, according to him, there ain't nothing to bring? Ela machvarta, you know what? Let's bite the bullet. Matnitin delok Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so all of our analysis of yesterday was not totally wasted in trying to get Rabbi Yoshua out of the Mishnah. The fact is, the same logic brought us to the conclusion that when it comes to Rabbi Yossi, we don't have all the options that we had According to Rashi, the option that we just threw out was the question of whether Tumah is a triple Sibur. So we don't have all of the options that we had for Rabbi Yehoshua. We're going to have to conclude that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi. Now, getting back to what Rabbi Yossi said yesterday, that beautiful Zen koan, you know. So is there a way to understand that for regular people? Or, I mean, do we need to have training for enlightenment for 20 years? I mean, I'm only with Popola, but I never heard of such a thing. How can Rabbi Yossi paskin the same shtar for two people? You know, you've got, it's the old, you know, you're right. But Rabbi, you're also right. But how can we both be right? You're also right. So what's Rabbi Yossi doing? How can he be mezaka the shtar to two different people? You can't have both the person who's bringing the suit and the defendant. They can't both be right, can they? The Tanya, let me just go over with you what Rabbi Yossi said so you realize how crazy it is. Amar Rabbi Yossi, ro'eni et divrei Rabbi Eliezer bizvachim, but I'm also ro'eni et divrei Rabbi Yehoshua bizvachim. And I'm ro'eni et divrei Rabbi Eliezer bimenachas, and I'm also ro'eni et divrei Rabbi Yehoshua bimenachas. He'll explain to you. I hold of what Rabbi Eliezer said by Zvachim, where he said, you bring dam, afa pisha in basar. But I also hold of Rabbi Yeshua Bizvachim, who says, im ein basar, im ein dam. And I hold of what Rabbi Eliezer says by Menachas, he says, you bring a komets, even though there's no shirayim. But let's not forget Rabbi Yeshua, who holds even that he says, if there's no shirayim, there's no komets. If there's no komets, there's no shirayim, okay? This doesn't make any sense. Amar Eliezer Rapapa said, well, maybe all he was trying to say is that I see that Rabbi Eliezer would maintain his position even when it comes to Menachas, and Rabbi Yehoshua would maintain his position even when it comes to Menachas, and you shouldn't think that they limited the conversation between them, the argument between them, to the dinim of Zvachim. So, ki koi bizvachim, so when he was dealing with the dinim of Zvachim, that's when he said, I think that they also argue with Menachas. Then when he's holding in his sugya Menachas, he would say, I think they also argue on Zvachim. That's all that he was saying. He wasn't paskening like one or the other. I said, Rav Papa, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I do need to know that even though the pasuk was about the dam, asita lotecha habasar vahadam, or dam zivachecha yishafech, which all is about zvachim. And so I understand that it's a chiddush that you need to teach me that even though the posik and the discussion was focused on zvachim, we're ready to expand that into the area of Menachas as well. But how in the world would anyone have thought that they're only arguing on Menachas and not zvachim when all of the primary material that they're bringing from the psukim is in the sugya of zvachim? That doesn't make any sense. So, I understand why it was necessary that he sat back and he said, you know, says Rabbi Yossi Mistavra, that the same way that they're arguing over here in Zvachim, they probably would also argue in Menachas. Okay, that's fine, because the Iker Kroi, ki ktive bizvachim ktive. It's all about Zvachim. But you need to tell me when you were learning Menachas, you found that it was machlokas, but Mistavra ki echad pligi b'menachas pligi b'nami b'zvachim. I mean, the whole discussion was about zvachim. You'd have to be crazy to think they're only arguing about Menachas and not zvachim. That can't be the explanation. So therefore, I suggest we learn it like this. Hello, Lokash. I would say that what he was saying was, he was talking about two completely different cases. In other words, I'm paskening like all of them, and I'm leaving it up to you to understand where I'm paskening in Zvachim like Rabbi Yeshua, and where I'm paskening in Zvachim like Rabbi Eliezer, and where in Menachas I'm paskening like Rabbi Eliezer, and where in Menachas I'm paskening like Rabbi Yeshua. Now you got to think it out, okay? So we're talking about two separate cases. What he's saying is, when it comes to the inyanim of Tuma, okay, so the Ne'echolim became Tomei. Over there, I'm Ro'eh et Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. And that's because I don't care about the fact that it's Nitma, and even if I don't have the meat, I'm still able to bring the carbon. And there's a big difference between that case and where I hold of Rabbi Yehoshua. I hold of Rabbi Yehoshua where I don't have the meat because it was burned or because it was lost. There's a big difference. Why do I say that when it comes to Nitma, there I say it's no problem, go right ahead, bring the dam anyway, like Rabbi Eliezer, there hold like Rabbi Eliezer. That's because the tzitz is meratza. But when it comes to the question of it's not even being in the world, and it was over the soruf, over there, there's no tzitz to be meratza, and meikra din I hold, and im ein basar ein dam. That's all. Well, what do you mean, that's all? Do we just prove that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a mefarish? Ein atzitz meratz al achilas. So if the tzitz is not meratz, what the heck is the difference whether the meat is tameh or whether the meat was burned? If the tzitz is not meratz al achilas, then for all intents and purposes, there is no meat. Okay. Forget it. I didn't say that. Let me try something else, says Rapapa. I still maintain he's talking about two different cases. You're right. The different cases is that the difference between Nitma and Saruf, the difference is Ro'eh Ani at the Rabbi Eliezer when it comes to the halachas of the tzibur. But I hold of Rabbi Yoshua when it comes to a Korban Yochid that if Ein Basar, Ein Dam. Okay, why is that? I'm assuming the reason that you say Betzibur there's no problem is because Tuma Hutra Betzibur, right? That's a brilliant explanation, except for a few unfortunate facts. First of all, we just proved that Rabbi Yossi holds Tum is the Chuyah Betzibur from the fact that you need to give him Hazoya during the Shivas Yomim. So forget about that, okay? He does not hold Tum as Hutra Betzibur. And furthermore, if you're talking about a Tzibur, what do you mean I hold of Rabbi Eliezer and it's kosher? What do you mean I hold of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua would not hold it's kosher? Since when, I mean, that's what you must be saying, but since when does Rabbi Yoshua hold it's not kosher? Didn't we just go through the whole shiloh of what Rabbi Yoshua holds, and we proved that actually Rabbi Yoshua definitely does hold that it would be kosher. So didn't we just say exactly the opposite? And that is that even Rabbi Yoshua, Nami Meida, from the Braisa that we brought before, that Meida Rabbi Yoshua, She'im Zorak Hurtza. If you went ahead and you did it, so then Enochinami, Amrit Betzibur Afilu Rabbi Yeshua Maidev, we just said that he was Maidev, so that doesn't count. Okay, I didn't say that either. I'll give you another difference, okay? I still say that they're talking about different cases. You're right, the different cases are not the difference between Tuma and Sorov. The differences were not, as I suggested, between Yochid Betzibur. But, the differences are between Lechatchila Medievet. So actually, I hold like Rabbi Eliezer, if you went ahead and you were Zorik, it was Hurtza. But I hold of Rabbi Yeshua Lechatchila, Imein Basar Ein Dam. No. Because Bidi Evid we brought before that even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that it's Hurtza. You just brought the Braita before. Maida Rabbi Yeshua Shim Zorak Hurtza. Yeah, but that thing about Maida Rabbi Yeshua Shim Zorak Hurtza was only Benogea Tuma. But in a case of Ovud Visorov, didn't we say that there's a big difference? And a key, Katani Meida Rabbi Yeshua Shim Zorak Hurtza, that was only Benitma. Avoba Ovud Visorov, he does not hold it B'diavad, it's okay. And when Rabbi Yossi says, I think we should paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in the case B'diavad, he meant even where it was Ovud Visorov we should paskin in the case of Bidi Avat. That explains how he could paskin like both of them. Because what he's saying is that im ein basar ein dam, or im ein shirayim ein komets, is true, lechatchila, across the board. But nonetheless, there's a difference if it were done or not. And if it is around, then it's not going to be Ma'akev, and even if it was Ovud Vesorov, not just Nitma, it also is not going to be Ma'akev, and you'll be Yotze. And now it's time for a moment with our dear Kapitan, if we can get him up.
Coming, there we go.
Well, the Rebbe is not here this morning, so we'll accept B flat. Okay, so the Mishnah talks here. We've been talking about the difference between a Korban Pesach and other Korbanas. And now the question is, if a particular person's Pesach was Nitma, not where we had bringing things Betzibur Betuma, one guy brings a Korban Pesach and all of the Basar became Tame. But he still has the Chelev. So the halacha over there is Eino Zorek Es Adam. Because here we're finally discussing what appears to be the actual machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And it turns out that with all of the achana that we just had of understanding the first part of the Mishnah, we now recognize what this last part of the Mishnah is coming to really tell us. That when we're talking about a Korban Pesach, it's absolutely necessary to have meat to eat, because that's the ish lefi achlo, the chosu al aseh. So there you would not be zorek the dam for sure, even if you are like Rabbi Yezer, that im ein basar, there's still yesh dam, daf api she'ein basar, that's not true of the Korban Pesach. So that's another difference between the Korban Pesach and other korbanos. Nitma chelev, but if all of the korbans emurim were tame, and there's nothing to bring on the mizbeach, but the meat is there for the owner of the Pesach to eat, there the halacha is you are zorek the dam. Even Reb Yoshua would be made that you'd be zorek the dam because you have basar, you don't need the chelev. But when it comes to other korbanas, b'mugdashim eino kein. That is not the case across the board, because by all other karbanas, even if the basar is tameh, as long as you have chelev to put on the mizbeach, the halacha is that you'd be zorek the dam, even according to Rabbi Yoshua, because im ein basar ein dam all only means that you need to have a makshir, and that a matir actually. And that matir is the dam, and you need to have something that is nitar. And in this case, the nitar is the chelev. And because of that, the only time Rabbi Yeshua says, im ein basar ein dam, is where you don't have anything, not for the mizbeach, no achilas mizbeach, and no achilas adam. So the one exception is the Korban Pesach, where even if you have the chelev, everybody agrees. Without basar, there's no point to bring the korban. Omer of Gidol Amarav, you should know that if you did throw that dam onto the Mizbeach, which you weren't allowed to do, it would still be a kosher Korban Pesach, despite the fact that you didn't eat any of it, and despite the fact that there wasn't any of its meat available for eating, and you would not be Chayav Koras if you did not make your Pesach Sheni, it would still be 100% okay. How could that be? I thought we made such a big deal that Abayina and Achila, you always need to have Achila for Korban Pesach. Now you're telling me even if there was no meat, that the Korban is mutter? No, Achila lo ma'akva. We do not need the Achila at all. The Korban is not dependent on the Achila. What do you mean it's not dependent on the Achila? We had a million cases before where if it was Shechter, Shalola, Ochlov, it's Pasul, and everything, it's a Pasuk. It says, Ish lefi Ochlo, and if it isn't lefi Ochlo, so then it's not kosher. Not true. Ish lefi achlo is lemitzvah, which means it's a lechatchila. That's all that it means. It doesn't mean that without it, it's not going to be kosher. What? La'akev lo. V'atanya, when the Torah says b'michsat nefashot, that teaches me melamed she'ena pesach nishchat ela lemnuyav. You can only shecht it for people that are registered for this Korban Pesach. You might think that that is not ma'akev. It's a mitzvah. Yocho shechatosh ela lemnuyav. You're a bad boy, and you were over ala mitzvah, but it would still be kosher. No, Talmud Lomar, therefore we repeat, Ish lefi achlo tachosu ala seh, and therefore akatuv shana alav la'akev. I'm repeating this to make it absolutely clear. This is ma'akev. Remember, when it comes to kachim, we need to have a mention again in order for the l'chatchila din of aveda to be ma'akev the aveda. And now, so now, are we clear from the Braita? There is no way to say that something that was brought for people who are not registered on it, that it would be kosher b'dieved. Now, don't try to tell me there's a difference between bringing it for non-registration and for bringing it for the case where there's no meat, because we have a hekesh, and the hekesh compares the dinim of the ochlin to the dinim of the minuyim. We said, b'mikzat nefashot, ish lefi achlo. That those are two different things. So we're being makish, the need for you to be able to eat, to the mikzat nefashot, which is the chiyuv of registration on the Korban Pesach, the minui on the Korban Pesach, right? And that means it's exactly the same. And you're telling me, doesn't matter if you can't eat it. You're telling me if there's no meat, it's okay. The meat's telling me it's okay. How could it be okay? We just proved that the Torah was shonel of ka'akev, la'akev. Well, Rav, who said that it's okay, he was going according to Rabbi Nassen. Rabbi Nassen says, look, Achilas Pesachim is definitely not ma'akev. So even though it sounds bad, it sounds like we're saying the ish lefi achlo would mean that it's ma'akev, it's not. And we're soon going to explain, okay, well, what does Rabbi Nassen do with the pasuk? Okay, just wait a second. First, let's figure out where we find this sheet of Rabbi Nassan. Hi, Rabbi Nassan. Ilema ha Rabbi Nassan. Is it this brayta that expresses the din of Rabbi Nassan, the Tanya? Minayin, Rabbi Nassan Omer, minayin shekol Yisrael yotzim bePesach echad. How do we know that, theoretically speaking, if everybody registers on the same carbon Pesach, that all of Klal Yisrael could be yotze with that one carbon Pesach? Now, I dare you to find a way in which all of Klal Yisrael is going to have enough kizasim to eat from one carbon Pesach. I mean, it's not possible. And nonetheless, he's saying it is possible. And Talmud Lomar, v'shachatu toko kahal adat Yisrael bein arbaim. That very pasuk that talks about the three chaburas and so on says that everybody should shech. Now, you know that's not true. V'chi kol ha-kahal kulo shochtim. Halo ino shochet el echad. You can't have two people holding the knives, much less 3 million people holding the knife. So what are you saying, that everybody does the shechita? This teaches me that it's as if, malam shekol Yisrael yotzim bePesach echad, everybody, even though a yochid is do it, v'shachatu, doesn't mean lashon rabim, it means it's as if. It's coming to tell me that it's as if all of Klal Yisrael is doing that single shechita. Yes, I understand, but that does not mean that there's not meat to be eaten. Well, how do you explain it? No, I explain very simply. Look, any person that you ask, do you have meat in this Korban Pesach? Sure, because I figure the other million people are going to withdraw before Pesach and they're going to make their own. So, I mean, there's definitely meat there for me. Now, every individual that you ask that is going to say the same thing, right? So, therefore, theoretically, there is something for everyone. And, okay, I mean, you say, but they can't all be here. I understand. So who is it that you would like to say it's not good for? What person cannot theoretically be the recipient of the largesse of this Korban Pesach if everybody else withdraws? So, but therefore, theoretically, it's kosher. Because Dilma Shani Hatam, the Mimashkin Hani Chazilahani. I mean, if these 999,999 withdraws, so then there's enough for the other people. And if he withdraws together with another 900,000, there's enough for the other people. Mashkana Chazilahani. So who are you going to say is not there? But you're claiming that Rabbi Nassan holds that even if it's tummy and it really can't be eaten at all, you're telling me Rabbi Nassan says that that's kosher, and Rav holds like Rabbi Nassan. Excuse me, I don't see that that's inherent in Rabbi Nassan's statement. Show me. Show me where Rabbi Nassan says that. Okay, it's another Rabbi Nassan. Hi, Rabbi Nassan. Take a look at this, Bryce, the Tanya. Nimnu alav chabura achad. There was one chabura, and there was just enough for there to be a kizayis for every guy. And then another chabura is nimna on it, and they sell out to this other chabura. Now there is not enough for a kizayit. So the Rishonim, who originally had a kizayit, that they had set that aside, they are going to eat whatever they have. They're potter from making a Pesach Sheni. But the others who do not have a kizayis, ain't ochlin, and they do have to make a Pesach Sheni, because in that case, since there was no kezayis, they were never menuyim. You need to be monui on a kezayit. You cannot be monui on pochas mikezayis. And Rabbi Nassan says, nah, eilu veilu p'tur milazot pesach sheni. Why? Shekvar nizrak adam. Once the dam was nizrak, so it was already yoytze, without there being any meat. No, that's the same issue. What are you bringing me a raya from Rabbi Nassan? That is basically the same thing as I told you before. Isn't it possible to say that the reason that they're all yotze is because there it's different, because if other people would withdraw, then there would have been enough for the later people, and therefore, theoretically, there is busser over here. But I want to know, what if it's literally not edible? You're telling me if it's tummy and it's not edible, that it's still, the halacha would be that you're going to be yotze b'diavad. Remember, we're talking about a yachid here, not about a tzibur. Well, now, wait a minute. If that's what you're trying to tell me, Rabbi Nassan says that it's okay, then why doesn't he say that that's the reason that it's okay? Why does he say shekvar nizrak adam? What does shekvar nizrak adam have to do with anything? He should just have said what you said. He would have said, hoel v'ru'yin l'mashech, since theoretically there's enough over here, that's why it's okay to do this Rika, right? But that's not what he says. He said, well, you did this Rika already. That's what's important. The fact that you're not going to be able to eat it, that's not important. then he's clearly saying that the Zrika of the Dom is all that I care about. I don't care if you're going to have Watit or you're not going to have Watit, okay? So for sure, Shmamin Abadam Talya Milta, the issue is that issue and only that issue. Is there Dom? Was there Zrika? Was there Achila? I don't care whether there's Achila. Achila Loma Akva. That's what Rav was saying. Why in the world would Rav have done that? Can you tell me? That Rav wants to now say the Mishnah is referring to Lechatchila, and therefore it's going according to Rabbi Nassim, which nobody else holds up when we're racking our brains over here to even to figure out where we know that even Rabbi Nassim holds that. And Rav has decided arbitrarily, well, obviously the Mishnah is talking about Lechatchila, and it's going according to Rabbi Nassim, who says that it's not Ma'akev, and so on. Why would he do that? I mean, all you need to do is say that Nukmik Rabbanan, and the Mishnah was talking about even B'diavad, that if you went ahead and you brought the carbon, doesn't say in the Mishnah that it's possible l'chatchila, so it should be the Rabbanan, and even B'diavad it would be possible because there's nothing to eat. It was Tamei, and we're talking about a Yachid, and a Yachid can't eat Betuma. No, you see, Rav was very troubled by the Lashon of the Mishnah. Look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Tana says, Eino Zorek et Hadam, that if it was Nitma, don't be Zorek the Dam. What do you mean, don't be Zorek the Dam? That's not the issue. The issue is that it's possible. Just come out and tell me it's possible. If you tell me, don't be Zorek the Dam, you're telling me something not to do l'chatchila. I mean, you're going to tell me like a five-word statement when all you need to do is say possible? So obviously, Shema Amina, that all we're saying is don't be Zorek the Dam, meaning don't do this l'chatchila because you don't have meat. But had it actually been Zorek, it would have been kosher. That's not true according to the Rabbanan. It's only true according to Rabbi Nassim. And that's why Rav had no choice but to explain the Mishnah Libel Rabbi Nassim. Okay, fine. So now I'm ready to admit that there is such a shita of Rabbi Nassim. But what does Rabbi Nassim do with the Pasuk? Didn't we learn out that HaKosuv Shana Alav La'akev, and it says Ish Lefi Achlo, and we compared Ish Lefi Achlo to the Din of Minuyim? So how in the world all of a sudden could Rabbi Nassim get away with claiming that it was kosher? Now, Ish Lefi Achlo doesn't mean he has to eat. Ish Lefi Achlo means he has to be able to eat. Doesn't mean that the meat has to be kosher to eat. It means that you cannot shecht a carbon pesach on someone who is incapable of eating a kezias. So if he's ill or if he's too old to eat and there's no way he's going to get down a kezias, so then you can't bring the carbon pesach from him. That's absolutely true, says Rabbi Nassim. But how do you get from that, Ish Lefi Achlo, that he needs to be a person that does have the possibility of achila? How do you get from that if the meat is tummy, that it's possible? It's not the same thing at all. I shechted it for people who can't eat. Now you're telling me, but they didn't have anything to eat. So what? Where does it say that it's possible if you don't have anything to eat? All it's saying is bina gavra, the chazil achila, and that's it. Now, if we take a look at the next bright, who do you think would be the one that said this bright? Amantan alo de ton rabbon. Shechatola ochulav. So you shechted the carbon pesach for people that could eat it. Vizorku dam al shalola ochlav. And then you did the zrikas adam, and you had in mind that I'm doing the zrikas adam for people who are not able to eat it. And it says over there that the pesach itself is kosher. A pesach atzmo kasher. V'adam yotzei bo yedei pes yedei chovato. And you were yotzei. So apparently that's going according to Rabbi Nassim. And then it would mean, when you say the Pesach itself is kosher, it means be Zorek the Dam and put the Yemurim on the Mizbeach, and you can't eat the Basar. And it's still saying that it's kosher, so it must be according to Rabbi Nassim. It's saying that it's kosher, right? No, that's a different issue. We had this issue way before. And that is, even if it's going Alib and Rabbanan, Ein Machsheves Erchlin Bezrika. The point over here is that the Torah says, Tochosu Allah said, the din of who it is that you're shechting for. Tochosu is kos. Who you're shechting for is important, but not who you're doing the Zrika for. That's the point. So that's what we're saying. As long as you did the Shechita for Ochlov, it's okay. If you did the Zrika, even Shalol Ochlov, there's no problem. This has nothing to do with that question. Okay, how about this, Bryce? What about this brisa that says, let's say a guy was too sick to eat at the time that you did the Shlita. And he's well by the time you did the Zrika, or vice versa. He's Cholim Bishat Shlita, and he was Chole Bishat Zrika. So then the din is you do not do the Shlita and the Zrika for him. He needs to be in healthy state from the beginning, Mishat Shlita through the Shat Zrika. Now, are we forced to say this is going according to Rabbanan and not according to Rabbi Nassim? Because according to Rabbi Nassim, we say that the Basar does not have to be roy to be eaten. So would he hold also that the same thing would be true, that even if the person couldn't eat? No, of course not. Afilu Tema Rabbi Nassim. We explained to you that the mocker of Rabbi Nassim is that we need a gavra de chazi la'achila. We certainly need somebody who is capable of eating. The only machlokas was legabe, the meat itself. Okay, how about this price? I got another price for you. Matanot to the Rabbanan. Shechato b'tahora v'achar kach nidmu ha'ba'alim yizarek hadam. So if the shechita was done b'taira and then the owners become tomei, now they're not able to eat. You should do the Zrika, but you can't eat the meat. How do you explain that? Al ye'achel basar betuma. So then that means, it's saying over here, that as long as you're zorek the dam, even though the person cannot eat and eats tame, so who is that going to? Omar Rabbi Elazar, this is clearly a machlokas. This would only make sense, alibet Rabbi Nassim, because you do not need the guy to be roi b'shat zrika. You only need the guy to be roi b'shat shchita. So he doesn't hold of the achie roi from the time of shchita to the time of zrika. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, this could be going even like the Rabbanan. Because how do you know it's talking about b'yochid over here? We're talking about over here b'tzibur. And that is because afilu b'tuma nami avde. Dam is, of course you could be zorek the dam. A Pesach can be brought b'tuma b'tzibur. What? And if you're talking about b'tzibur, why don't you eat the meat? How could this be b'tzibur? It says that the guy became tummy, then he can't eat meat. Am I in a basar nechal b'tuma? I thought the halacha is that b'tzibur, the Pesach was only brought in order for you to be able to eat, and now you're telling me don't eat it. How does that make sense? No. This is a different case, you see. You'd think that this case is even more kal than the normal case, right? Because the guy was tar at the time that you did the shechita, but actually it's worse. Okay, let me explain to you why it's worse. Because we've got a gezeira over here. Let's imagine, okay, that next year the rov of the tzibur becomes tameh after the zrika. Let's say the nasi dies and everybody becomes tameh after the zrika. So what are they going to say? They're going to say, hey, listen, last year we became tameh after they did the shechita, and the halacha was we could go ahead and we could eat the Korban Pesach, right? Because it was brought betuma. So we should do the same thing this year. Even though we became tameh later, after the Korban was brought betaira, both the shechita and the zrika, we should be able to eat it. But they don't realize that it's absolutely a different situation. Last year that they're referring to, or whenever that time was, at the time of the Zrikas Hadam, the Zrikas Hadam was being brought in a case where the rov of the tzibur was tameh. And that's why they were allowed to eat the meat betuma, because it was nizrak for a tzibur betuma. Over here, it was brought when everybody was tar. Once the carbon was kavua as a carbon pesach that is tar, and then I don't care, even if it's the entire tzibur that becomes tameh afterwards, nobody's allowed to eat it. And therefore, because they may make the mistake of thinking that there's no difference of whether they became tameh after Zrika or not, but now this year, with a Bialim Wurtar at the time of the Zrika Saddam, in order to make sure we don't make that mistake, the Rabbanon would go there that you cannot eat the Basar. And that is the reason for the difference.